You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets. I'm your host, Matt Moore, senior NBA writer for the Action Network, Nuggets insider for 104.3 The Fan in Denver, joined tonight by Adam Mares, world's finest episode, as we get closer and closer to the start of the NBA season.
You haven't
Adam,
called it that in a long time, man. World's finest.
World's finest. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And we will be at Media Day.
Will we be at Media Day? Do we know this yet?
I think so. So what I'm hearing is the plan, at least for media availability league-wide, is for there to be available. Now, the Nuggets may decline based off of the rates in Denver, but I think if you can provide vaccination, I think probably there's a very good chance that you can be in person for Media Day. Not you, the listener, just us, because we're special, right. But the general you. I think people will be allowed. I would imagine is instead of our usual setup where there's a bunch of us just in the practice gym, I would imagine they'll do one-on-one interviews in a socially distanced press conference environment.
Yeah, that would be great, man. That would be really great. And I'm itching for it, man. I'm like ready. I'm fully over the off season. Football being back today kind of like got me back in the, okay, I'm ready for things to start happening again.
Nice. That's good to hear. If you want to know more about the NBA at large, you should check out Locked On NBA on Mondays. You got Josh Lloyd, host of the number one fantasy basketball podcast in the world, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. And he takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts. You got a very handsome gentleman on Fridays and a very loud gentleman on Thursdays. You can also check out there as well. All right. So on today's show, Adam had this idea. I think it's a great one. We're going to do the top three traits for the 10 players in the Nuggets rotation. We will go through and just say what their best three traits are as NBA players. So do you want to start at the top with one Nikola Jokic?
Let's do it. That's a good place to start.
What are your, talk about your three, because there's a bunch that goes on the Jokic list. I'm wondering what your top three traits for him are.
There are a bunch. I think number one is pretty easy. Actually, it actually is a little bit hard. I put number one as passing. I'm going to spoil this because they kind of go hand in hand. Number two I had is IQ or basketball IQ. And I do think they are separate things because he is both really good at seeing the court and where things are going, but he's also really good at just delivering things at the exact spot they're supposed to. I think those are two different, they go together, but they're two different things. And he's 100% on both of them.
So I have number one, his control of the game, which I think includes passing.
Yeah.
The fact that he's able to shape games the way that he is, where there was a stretch last year where if you doubled him, it was over. He was finding an open man and they were hitting an open shot or getting a dunk. If you played him solo, he was going, that was the big thing last year, is he was willing to just punish you over and over again. And as long as he has a full complement of weapons around him, you can't effectively single cover him and survive. You have to double. And if you double, you wind up giving up even more high efficiency options. So that's my number one. So you have passing number one, and then
I want to comment on your control of the game, though, because there's two things we always hear with him. One, that you can't speed him up. And it is funny that we're this far into his career. If nobody has sped him up yet, he's just going to go his whole career at not being sped up. Like, I don't think there's an adjustment. It's just when he's on the court, you play at his pace, at least when he has the ball. What was the other one I was going to get at here? I was just playing off. It'll have to come back to me. It'll have to come back to me. I lost the second thing I was going to comment on your point.
Okay, so you had his passing, you had his IQ. What was his third thing for you?
Touch. And in particular, touch on his shot. And really, where it most manifests itself is his touch on his floater. Just his, that touch like around the basket on those little jump hooks and little float shots. To me, that almost as much as his passing is what makes him so unguardable, is everybody is trained to protect the rim and he just shoots it from 6 feet away from the rim and makes it almost as well as people do when they dunk it.
Yeah. What's funny is my second one actually behind control is a very ephemeral, non-concrete thing. It's actually this, as I wanted to kind of like jam in his passing into his control of the game, because I felt like I had to include this, which is he inspires a lot of joy.
This was number two, huh? Went abstract right out of the package.
Yeah, I had to, just because I do think a lot about what it's like to play with these guys. Right. I think a lot about that. And I think that's, I don't think you have to have fun to be good. I don't. Right. I think you can be a really good basketball team and not have fun. I think you can treat it as we're professionals. This is our job. I think that, like anything, doing it day after day for 82 games and the playoffs with preseason and training camp and the open runs and all practice and weight rooms and all this, doing all of this, I think it's a lot easier when you get a chance to look awesome and feel like there's this, that the best player on the team wants you to succeed.
Who's your favorite player that you think would suck to play with?
Harden.
Really? Oh, you like Harden? I would have thought you were going to say like Chris Paul, because I think Chris Paul would be pretty tiring to play with.
No, I think you can find a way. Like, basically, if you're super competent and hyper competitive, you will have fun playing with Chris Paul. Hmm. Like, as long as you're not like if you don't take it lax, if you're not somebody that like is like, well, yeah, I play basketball, but there's a lot of other things that I am too. You should, if you were just like I think Jamal Murray would get along with Chris Paul just fine. I think Jamal would love
him. I agree. Yep.
But like Harden, I just think the play style of like, this dude's going to roll out of bed after going to the club all night.
Right.
Is going to dominate, is going to be so good that he drops 40.
Right.
But I have to wait for his pass. I have to, like, everything rotates around him. Now, like, I think the way Harden plays in Brooklyn is great. But when Harden plays the way that I don't even know if he prefers it. When he played the way that he did in order to accomplish his career goals, I think that would be pretty tough. I personally would not want to play with Joel Embiid. Just me personally. I feel like if you miss it all, it's your fault, and nothing he ever does is his fault. It's all
Let's
your
go.
Fault.
Let's go. I am so ready for people to turn on Embiid. I hope it happens.
So anyway, like,
Jokic is third. Do you have a third
one? Inspire and joy. Mine's, it's similar to your touch. It's efficiency. So it's not just the 2-point stuff. Like the fact that he hits his threes is a big freaking deal. And it's a separator in terms of his good seasons from his great, I think, are defined by how he shoots from three. I would say that the last couple of seasons, even if he had not shot as well from three, the control still sets him apart.
Right. Yep.
But I do think that like it is a crucial component to understanding why he is so like a very large part of any sort of MVP argument for him has to be based around the fact that anytime he shoots, it's a high percentage shot.
Yeah.
And that ability to make every shot hyper, like I looked up the numbers and he's probably due for some regression just in terms of the differential between his expected EFG and his actual in a very concrete term. So that's the thing, is like he inspires joy in a very ephemeral, non-concrete sense. And in the very concrete sense, he just literally shoots way above what the expected mark is. And some of that's just like the fadeaway, like the Sambor shuffles, right? Like he hits stuff that's absolutely nuts.
Right.
He hits wild shots all the time. He's made in the last three seasons. It wasn't just last year. So that I think is a real big key of it, is he doesn't have the usage rate of a lot of the other MVP candidates, and he doesn't have to, because he scores just as much on fewer touches, and that allows him more opportunities to create for others, which I think is really beneficial.
Yep.
Let's do Jamal and then we'll take a break. Okay.
Okay.
For Jamal, my number one trait for him is his competitiveness. I think competitiveness is, it's often when guys are young, everybody's like, oh, they play with fire. And what really comes, like, there's a bunch of different ways that competitiveness springs forth, like a bunch of different sources. And sometimes it's what drives Jamal. Sometimes, in other cases, it's like they want to be great individually. They want to make a mark in the brand. They want to be rich and famous. They want to be famous athletes. I will absolutely cop to the fact that I underrated from the very start where Jamal's competitiveness is drawn from, which is a very, honestly, it's pretty noble. Like I try and stay away from using those kind of words with players, cause I'm always like, we don't know them. But as a professional, the way that Jamal Murray approaches basketball has my utmost respect. Like he cares about winning. He wants to win. He shaped his game around what was best for this team. he goes out every night and wants to win. If they're down, he starts firing to try and get them back into it. Like, he plays with an incredible amount of passion. He badly wants to win every time he steps on the floor, and he wants to kill you. And that I have a lot of respect for bringing it to the table in the way that he does.
I have competitiveness. It goes hand in hand with what I put down, which was courage, because I think they're slightly different, but I do think that when the pressure is turned up, he's the most confident person on the court. And I think that is maybe the single most unique trait about him before you even get to the basketball stuff, is he just has like remarkable willingness to be in pressure situations.
I tried to find a more, loquacious term for this. So I put down dexterity. That's not what I mean. Like, he's just got a deep bag. That's my second thing. He's got such a deep bag of how he's able to get to any number of shots. I'm very focused in, like, I'm starting work on the Western Conference win totals this week. And one of the things I'm working on is the Grizzlies. And about, like, I'm fixated on the fact that Jaren Jackson essentially does not have like a set of go-to moves.
Right.
Jamal Murray has like 800 combinations. He's a Lego set where he can make anything he wants out of a possession. You know, step back, pivots, you know, fade away, up and under. Like, every move that he makes has 18 moves that he can make from that point. His branch tree of skills is very wide on ball, and that allows him. Part of it is his tough shot making ability, but his ability just to create the shots that he does and to manipulate space, I think, is a really underrated aspect.
I have off the dribble shooting as mine, but I kind of like the way you put yours there, because my third one would be tough shot making, which I think goes along with more or less what you're saying, which is he's an improviser. You know, like, he just improvises as he's going. He does have a few go-to moves, but a lot of it is like, it's just, he arrives at a move that he didn't expect to go to. He just is feeling it. And that leads itself to the off the dribble scoring, but especially leads it to the tougher the shot, the more likely he is to kind of get focused.
Yeah. My third one was balance. And that's, I mean, honestly, I should just change that to shot making. I do think his balance is incredible, even when he's off balance, it's purposeful.
He has a one-legged jumper that we don't talk about a lot, because Jokic's is so, the Sambor shuffle is so loud, but Murray has a one-legged shot that he goes to a lot as well. That's kind of a unique shot. Not too many like guards go to that one.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's just
almost a floater.
He's got running. He's just got such a deep freaking bag. He's got so many shots that he can get to. Cannot wait to see him back on the court. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to more of the Nuggets and their top three traits when we return on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about Sweat Block. It's been hot, guys, in Colorado. It has been hot. And when it's hot, you sweat. And when you don't want to sweat because you got a date or a big meeting or whatever, or you just don't want to feel gross, you need to use Sweat Block. Doctor created, doctor recommended, works up to 7 days per use. You put it on at night, you go to sleep, you get up, you shower, you go about your day, sweat-free, guaranteed. They got a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's been featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. That's how much heat it can handle. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews, and it's manufactured in the USA. If you or someone you love deals with sweat problems, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON, or at Amazon and CVS. We're also brought to you today by DirecTV Stream. Does sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite TV shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets for a Monday. Adam Mares, Matt Moore, world's finest. 2 weeks until preseason. We'll be going through the top three traits of the Denver Nuggets on the roster this season. Let's go to one Michael Porter Jr. I'm very interested to hear what your top three skills for MPJ are.
Well, number one is not a surprise. It's ridiculously great shooting. I mean, his shooting is by far and away. I don't know how many players, like Zion, his athleticism. I don't know how many others, Russell Westbrook, his speed. I don't know how many players have a more defined top skill like Michael Jordan's jump shooting. It is easily his number one trait.
Michael Porter's jump shooting. He said Michael Jordan. That was
confusing. We were talking earlier. I was watching some Michael Jordan highlights earlier.
Confusing Michael Porter and Michael Jordan. Bold.
Very easy.
I respect it.
Very easy to confuse the two.
Yeah, mine also is shooting. You know, I actually had touch on here, but then I was like, you know what? Sometimes the hands are a problem. So couldn't really put that on there. But yeah, like, look, when he was going through his struggles last season and I would get pressed on it, because I would be critical of him. And what I would get to with fans or media members or even on radio spots was, well, Matt, if it's such a problem, shouldn't they trade him? And then my answer was always no. So I was like, why? If he's struggling so much and they don't know how to play basketball with him and all this, why shouldn't they trade him? And my answer would simply be, he's a 6'10", 50, 40, 90 shooter. That's right. It. Like, right. Can't trade him. That's just how it is. And that continues to be very true, which is like, look, it's just that you're not going to find guys with a ceiling that's 6'10", 50, 40, 90 shooter. Those guys are elite. Those guys are the top ends. His ability to hit, and I got to stress this, it's the free throw stuff too. Like, he's a good free throw shooter. This is a big part of it. You know, if he gets fouled, he's fine. If he needs to hit from range, he's good. If he needs to hit a pull-up jumper, he's great. Like, there's no spot on the floor where you do not feel – there's no spot on the floor where you feel like Michael Porter Jr. cannot consistently hit his shot.
No, it's true. I like him from every single spot on the floor shooting the basketball. You mentioned touch. I think his touch is great too. You're right about the hands, but I do think he is a surprisingly good finisher on like tough angled layups and things like that. It's a sneaky good skill of his. Number two, though, I have actually is an interesting one. Quick jumping. I know this one sounds silly, and I bet some people wouldn't have this as their top three, but he's 6'10". He's pretty athletic, but he's really quick off of his feet. And I think this is why he's a very good offensive rebounder. It's why he's a pretty good cutter. And I just think he gets a lot of buckets off of being quicker to the rim than people trying to guard him.
I'm trying to decide because it does not feel that way to me, but I'm open to being wrong on this. Like, I'm open to just like not having paid enough attention. Cause you're right that he has like incredible rebounding. He does tend to just kind of like glide sometimes when he jumps. Like, he's just like there.
But I think right? What he does on those is he jumps quick and then floats. Like, he gets to a spot and then slows down. That's why I said specifically quick jumping.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's an interesting one. I have just a size. I just think the size is a huge trait here. Like, look, you know, the rebounding, he can be a quick jumper, but he needs to be taller than everybody else to grab the board. And his ability to get offensive rebounds and putbacks and stuff like that is key on it. The fact that he's able to just shoot over a lot of guys is related to the fact that he's just taller than them. That's not a bad thing. Like, Shaq would be like size would be, if we're doing Giannis, I would say his size is a part of it. He's just bigger. And I think that does play a part. My third one for him, you know, I thought about doing something related to his mindset or, you know, kind of like the more ephemeral nature, but I just simply don't know if those traits are wholly good yet. Mm-hmm. And so they're not wholly bad, but they're not wholly good either. So instead I went with his individual feel. And what I mean by that is, like, I don't think he has great feel for 5-on-5 basketball. Right.
He's probably an elite pickup basketball player.
Yeah, I think he has incredible feel for how to manipulate defenders, right, how to navigate his way against defense, which is interesting.
Yeah, this is right.
Well, it's interesting because, like, the physicality of tough defenders has given him problems too. So I don't know what that says, but I will say that just, like, I think a lot of the rebounding is that he just naturally understands where the ball goes. He doesn't – this all the stuff that he struggles with are how to make other people better or where he – or how to have synergy with others. It's not about his individual game. Like, his universe of basketball is not flawless, but it's pretty close offensively.
Right.
But he struggles whenever you try and expand that universe to others and try and incorporate, right. You know, if he's part of a larger solar system, that's when things kind of get tricky. Right. But as his own planet, he's got a really good atmosphere, so to speak.
100% agree on that. I think that's a really good one. A third for me would have been size. If I want to be different, though, I would say confidence. And this is a really important trait for shooters, is Michael Porter. I mean, the yeah, Mike meme is kind of a joke, but it's like, yeah, he's always in his own head saying shoot it. So I think that's part of it with him, is you could see him airball a shot, get a kick out, and immediately be like, yeah, I'm shooting this one. Like, it just, he has an incredible confidence that he's going to make his next shot. And not even every great player has that.
Let's go to Aaron Gordon.
This is the toughest one.
Let's do Aaron Gordon. So I will just go ahead and say my three. It's athleticism, physicality, and his malleability.
And those are good. Physicality is a really good one, because you're right. That is one of his good traits, is he can be very physical.
Like, I don't think he's as good of a defender. Skill wise as some other guys, but I think his physicality makes up for a lot, because you feel it if Aaron Gordon is guarding you.
Yeah.
And that makes up for a lot. That's a big differential. I think he's a great defender, but if we talk about like the difference in him and some of like the more high end pure defenders, right? Like a prime Iguodala, I think, is a good example of this, where Iguodala would focus on making you feel him only if he needed to try and match your physicality. Gotcha. Like he was very cerebral in that approach, versus anybody that Gordon guards is going to be like, oh, man, I'm getting shoved and jostled, and like he's right there and he's got these big shoulders and he's just very powerful. He is a powerful athlete. And I think that carries a lot of his strengths.
Number one is athleticism. So I'm with you on that one. I changed mine as you were talking. Number three, I put physicality, because I do agree. That's one of his great traits for all the reasons you mentioned. But number two, the middle one there for me, it's on ball defense. I really think he's an elite on ball defender who hasn't quite had an opportunity to demonstrate this just yet, in large part because he hasn't been on a team that really needed it in the setting where you noticed it most. I don't know that he's can guard, you know, Damian Lillard or Devin Booker or those guys, but I do think if we get a playoff series with a LeBron or a Paul George or Kawhi or one of these guys or Luka, I think he's going to really shine as a guy that shocks people with how well he defends those guys.
The fact that Malone basically used him as a cooler versus Dame in that series, I thought was very notable. Yep. Malleability was my third one, because like I didn't expect it from him. That may be part of the reason why I think it's so important. But look, he just could have come in and been like, yeah, I'm gonna take 16 shots a game too.
I need my four post-ups, my seven, whatever it is. Yeah.
And nope. Like I don't know what conversation, or just if it was just him internally, I don't know how this came about, but the fact that he went to Denver and bought in 100% on, I don't care how many points I get, I don't care how many shots I get, I want to win. And then when they were winning, when he was like, this is awesome. Yeah. Like he found
Yeah.
He found that's what he wanted. That to me is very impressive. There are guys that will maintain their career aspirations, and that's okay. I'm not trying to knock that. But I do think that it's really always good when you come into a situation, I think this is any professional situation, and you're able to say, if everybody succeeds, I'm going to succeed too. And I think that maturity is important. So I was impressed with his malleability.
For sure.
Barton.
Okay.
Passion. His shiftiness with the ball and his dedication. It's interesting that two of his big traits for me are non-concrete basketball skills.
Right.
But like, look, he has years where he doesn't finish great, did not finish well last year. He has years where he doesn't shoot well. Like, he's not an extremely great passer. He's not an unbelievable rebounder. Like, Will Barton's a professional basketball player, but one thing that he does bring a lot of is he brings a lot of positive energy for this team. And that's been pretty consistent, and it's something they've needed from time to time. And so that's really what I think of when I think of Barton, is what he gives emotionally to this team.
Definitely. Definitely. It's a great one. I'll put Hart number two on my list. Could easily be number one. His craftiness, you kind of mentioned it. I think that's the same thing. He's a slippery player. And then number three, versatility. I mean, we're talking about a guy that plays for the Nuggets, point guard, shooting guard, which is he hardly plays shooting guard anymore. That's his natural position. And he plays small forward. So he's just a guy that can, is there any other Nuggets that consistently plays three different positions? He might be the most versatile just in terms of what position he's at.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take a break. We'll get back and we'll cover the bench, the five remaining players on our list when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. There's all these different makes and numbers and all of these different names for the cars and all of this. It's hard to tell and get exactly what you're looking for from your local chain auto parts store. Why go through that process? It's irritating. You're going to be annoyed if it's like, no, this is for the SX, not the SL, all these different things. Don't go through that. Just go to your computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You get to save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. You could save up to 100% on some parts, 50%, 30% even. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for everybody, and they've got all the parts you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets for a Monday. Optimism Monday. Talking about the three best traits for the Denver Nuggets going into the season. We got five guys left. I want to tell you about Locked On Bets. Betting doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. I had a bad day betting today, Adam Maras. I had a bad day. No, I did not bet against the Broncos. I talked big about it, and then I wound up betting the Broncos -3 and they covered. Thank you, Broncos. I did not bet on the Chiefs either. I did not feel good about that game. Not think we were going to win. I'm very glad we did. Feel a little wrong about it, to be perfectly honest with you. Feel like I stole some lunch money is how I feel about that Chiefs win. Let's go to the bench. Let's start with Mr. Six Man, Monte Morris. And for his three traits that I think are, his three best traits, number one is control, but I mean it in an entirely different way than I do Jokic. So Jokic controls the game. Like, he shifts the defense and manipulates the players and, you know, conducts the offense like it's a symphony. With Monte, he's never out of control. You're never looking at him and being like, what is Morris doing? It is always the right decision. It is always very calculated. It is always, I need to be aggressive and take this shot because this is what the team needs. I need to punish this matchup or the scheme. His assist to turnover ratio is amazing. That's what's always been cited about him in college, and it's carried through to the pros. He is a very careful player without being timid. And that is a difficult balance, because a lot of guys are good about not being timid in the NBA, but it often comes with a high rate of mistakes. And Monte Morris having the control that he does, I think, is really impressive.
Yeah, that was my number one. He just doesn't make mistakes. And mistakes doesn't just mean turning the ball over. It means like micro decisions. Like, did he get the ball where it's supposed to go? Did he press when he was supposed to press? Did he slow down when he's supposed to slow down? It's just all of that. Mistakes, large and small, he doesn't make them.
My second trait for him is his selflessness. Monte, like, Faku was starting and Monte came back and Monte was coming off the bench, and Monte's never had a problem with that. And if Monte needs to play off ball because he's playing next to Jokic, he does that. If he needs to play on ball because he's running second unit, he was totally fine just setting up Jamal to score when they were running those units as well. He does not have any sort of ego about his game and getting his stuff. Like, Monte Morris trusts in the game and in winning that will carry him through, and it has proven very good. That selflessness I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, he's kind of like naturally unselfish. It didn't make my top three. My number two for him was his floater, which I actually think is he's pretty elite, an elite point guard floater shooter. So that was my number two. And my number three, kind of combining all of this, because he's a good mid-range shooter, he can knock down the set three, and he's a good pick and roll player. He's really good end of clock. So he's just a good end of clock player, usually end of quarter. But if you get into a pinch where it's like, he has to either shoot the mid-range jumper or pass it. He can do both of those things at a high level.
I like yours better, so I'm going to take yours. I'm going to put that one in for my third one of managing end-of-clock situations. I will say that my third one was actually perspective. And the reason I say that is kind of in line with the selflessness thing, but if you talk to him, Monte Morris has been pretty open about, I plan on being a backup point guard in this league for like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's just really refreshing for me to meet a player that doesn't think he's being underused, that doesn't think that he's, you know, he has so much more he can show. Like, you know, it's just a shame that he doesn't get the touches and that he has to do, like, it's right. A crime that he has to defer. Monte Morris is like, nope, I am what I am. Yeah. I do what I do well. I get paid. I'm going to be in this league a long time. Like, the fact that he's buddies with Chris Paul, the fact that he's buddy with so many guys, and like, he's going to be in the NBPA, I'm pretty sure, at some point. Like, there's just like, I have a lot of respect for Monte Morris's perspective on things. He does not get rattled. He does not get shook. He does not get down. Like, I like his perspective on things quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Let's go to Jamichael Green. I'm curious about yours.
These ones are tough. Well, number one is toughness. I mean, I think that's the number one trait by a mile that he brings. He's just grit and grind, J Mike.
Yeah. I think that manifests itself most in like the rebounding, right? It's not that Jamichael Green has like a high, necessarily high rebound numbers. It's that it feels like when he's grabbing boards, he's ripping them out of other guys' hands, and he's really like fighting and clawing and getting key rebound possessions. Like, there were a lot of games last year where we would make note of like, oh, that rebound by Jamichael Green with, you know, 2:35 left, that was a crucial, like, that possession was only possible where they went up with because Jamichael Green got the rebound. There's a lot of those, it felt like, last season. My number one is actually his professionalism. Just the fact that, like, you know, Jokic loves playing with him. Everybody loves playing with him. Nobody has any complaints about him. Like, he's just a professional, which is really interesting because, like, in Memphis, they had a really hard time trying to figure him out because it was like, they didn't believe in his shooting, which is what's funny. The regime that he was under then, like, they were like, they wound up not re-signing him and letting him go specifically because they did not trust in his shooting, which he's a good shooter. So, yeah, I've got professionalism, toughness, and shooting as Jamichael Green. It's like three things. Like, that's pretty much what he's brought in for. Are there any other skills like I'm overlooking in terms of his actual on-ball stuff that he maybe needs more credit for?
No, not really. I don't think. I had a similar one to you. You know, toughness and shooting we both have. I put knows his role, which I think you said professionalism, knows his role. I just think he's a guy that's never outside the lines. He's never taking shots or dribbles or anything he's not supposed to.
I feel like if I dug in, I could probably find something that Jamichael does really well, like a specific move, whether it's a putback, pump fake layup or something. But in general, like, what stands out about him is like all those little things that he does, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a fun one. Facu Campazzo.
Oh my God. Did you even come up with three?
I did come up with three. My number one is fight.
Give all three, because we're going to be different, I think, on these three.
Okay. My first one is fight. He plays with an incredible amount of fight, regardless of how effective he is at whatever. Like, he is just willing to, like, he's always up for the battle. Like, he wants to challenge a guarding Chris Paul, and he wants to fight over the screen, and he wants to go grab an offensive rebound. Like, there is just zero there is, he never backs away from anything. Every single challenge Facu Campazzo goes for. So that's my first one. My second one is vision. He's got obviously like great vision, wonderful passer, makes a lot of fancy, complicated passes, does a lot of stuff that is like, he makes some reads, which are absolutely fantastic. I may underrate that skill. Honestly, if I went back, I'd probably find that his reads are even better than I think they are. So that's definitely, I think, one. And then his third one is his intensity, which I think is related to his fight. But like, look, it's not just that, though. What I mean by the intensity, I'm serious, though, because like what I mean by that, though, is the guys love him. And I feel like they love him because he's a motherfucker on the court.
Yeah, for sure.
And if he's not a motherfucker, I mean that term very endearingly, because that's like the term that real hoopers have often used to describe like seriously badass guys on court is motherfuckers. And so I'm really sorry if your kids are listening. And so anyway, that intensity in that fight is, I think, it's central to what he brings to the team. So let me know about what you think his best traits are.
So I actually have number one is his on-ball defense. And you could easily just say defense in general. Now, I know you're going to say, but he got cooked by Chris Paul. He got cooked by Damian Lillard. Like, yes, we're talking about relative to the player that he is. And his job is to be in there and to just put pressure, like make wear guys out. And he does that at an extremely high level, you know, when he doesn't have to do it against Hall of Famers. Number two, passing. You had that one, I think, as number two as well. I hope we see more of it, by the way, this year. We did see a decent amount of it last year, but I hope we see more of his great passing this year. And then, yeah, I had energy, intensity, whatever you want to say, energy, intensity. We all know what it is. He's just always playing with the turbo button completely pressed down.
Yeah, so, like, we're not all that different. Like, I didn't, you know, I don't think I short-shrifted him. It's not like I'm missing some sort of skill that he's amazing at that I'm not accounting for. The only thing I'll say on the on-ball defense stuff is, again, that there were so many times throughout the season when I would notice guys would just simply blow past him because it's I think here's the problem is, like, it's very easy for me to say his on-ball defense, like, guys just run by him because he's so small. Is that better or worse than guys running by Will Barton or by Monte Morris because their closeouts have bad form? Right, like the Nuggets' entire problem is their inability to contain at the ball on catch and shoot. Like
I think his on ball, what you're talking about here is akin to a player who maybe jumps for every shot, a shot blocker who jumps for every shot. And I would say that there is, you said, is there anything better? I think there is something better in that there's an auxiliary benefit with a shot blocker. If you jump for everything, sometimes you might give up open layups, but at least you create this second guess in people's mind and they have to think about it. I think with Faku, yes, guys sometimes blow right past him, but he speeds up the game. He forces you when you are blowing by him. It's like, okay, you've broken the play, and guys get into trouble sometimes when they get sped up, even when they get past him sometimes. So I think it has a secondary benefit there.
I will make every effort to see this. That's a really good point, I think, on speeding the game up. And I will make every effort to see this the way that you do, because I'm tired of feeling like I'm insane. I'm watching an entirely different universe than what everyone else is watching.
You're gonna be a Faku guy this year, I can tell.
Yeah, let's go. PJ Dozier.
Oh, PJ Dozier, we haven't done him yet. Okay.
Yeah, so I will run through mine real quickly. Athleticism, his pick and roll playmaking, I love. I absolutely freaking adore it. His ability to come off of a pick, make the read, and make a sidearm, sidewinder pass to the corner, that's one of my favorite things in basketball. I love the way it looks. I love the way it feels. It generates high percentage looks. I think PJ Dozier is going to be a really good pick and roll player. I just think that he is going to, with skill development, I think he's going to be a very good player. The numbers do not back up that he is. I think that he makes that leap this season. I think he's going to get better at finishing at the rim and at hitting that mid-range jumper when they drop versus when they try drop coverage. And I think that he will benefit from that. And I think the PJ Dozier is going to have a really great breakout season. I love his pick and roll playmaking. So it's his athleticism, his pick and roll playmaking, and his positional flexibility. It's wild to me that he went from being a point guard to a small forward almost full time this season. But he did. I will say that his positional flexibility is like a good trait, but I wouldn't say it's like a very strong one, in part because I don't think he is nearly as good at small forward as he is in either of the on-ball guard spots.
Well, we're going to find out, because I have a feeling that's the only position he's playing this year, at least the primary position, if you just look at the roster and how it's constructed. And I actually think he's better. I had versatility as my third trait. I actually think he's pretty good at it. Number one for me was length. I mean, he just has a really good basketball body, especially if you talk about him as a guard, not necessarily as a forward. At 6'6", 6'7", wide shoulders, long wingspan, that's really good length for a shooting guard, which is probably his best spot. Number two is defense. I actually think he's a really good defender. I think he has the tools to be like a top 15, you know, what does this be, 85th percentile defender? I think he has a chance to be something like that. I was surprised over the last week or so, because I've been talking about this, at DNVR, but just talking to different people, Nuggets fans. A lot of people think seem to view PJ Dozier as just a guy, and I'm really high on PJ Dozier. I'm ready to plant my flag on Dozier Island and say, hey, I think this guy's going to have a really good year and turn some heads.
I think he's absolutely a guy that I think hoop Knicks, I'll use that term, will gravitate towards because of his combination of size. And like, he's a serious basketball player. Like he's a very, like to me, he's like, he has a lot of things in the bag. And like, there's a lot of room for him to grow. Like it takes basically PJ Dozier shooting a little bit better for it to be like, no, he's really good. You know, and that's the thing is like, you can see all of that there. He doesn't make the plays where it's like, he, you know, dives at somebody's feet and gets trampled on and everyone roars. But like, he does like a lot of like, I think really things that help you actually function on offense and defense.
I think if he learns what his ticket is to a 10-year NBA career, because he's not a star. And I think that's part of this with him is every now and then he goes into star mode. And it's like, hey man, if you can be solid at the things that you're really good at and just not worry about stepping outside those lines, I think he has a 10-12 year career ahead of him. If not, he might not have more than 3 or 4. We'll find
out. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I think for him, I will say this, like I think it's important for him to be able to do some things. Like this is part of it, is the team, they've stocked this roster with so many guys that are smart basketball players that can make plays for each other. And that I think is a wise decision, and obviously the record backs it up, but like you do need to actually put the ball in the bucket. Like there's times when you just need the guys to go out and do stuff, like go create and score. And I think that there's a lot of room for him to improve in that. Like there's a lot of room, obviously, for him to improve because his numbers are bad at the rim, you know, shooting, et cetera. But look, like I think there's a lot of room for what he can do with his skill set versus some of the other guys on roster. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I would rather have PJ Dozier having, I think PJ Dozier's variance skews more to like, he can have a game where it's like, he had it going and he scored, you know, 18, you know, versus other guys where I don't necessarily know that that's like a thing that can happen for them.
Yeah.
Jeff Green is our final guy on the list, and my list for him, spacing is the number one thing, but it's very particular. Green's is an elite corner shooter. And I think that's important because the Nuggets oftentimes have created a high number and missed those in crucial situations. They need to be a team that's good at the corners. I think with, especially if you're going to double Jokic from the baseline, he needs to be able to deliver that ball whip pass over his shoulder and feel like that shot's going to get made. And Green, I think, will make a ton of those shots this season if he plays. So for me, that's his number one thing is corner shooter. That's what he's been over the last half of his career. He understands it. Second thing doesn't sound like necessarily a good trait, but it's competency. I just mean that there's a lot of guys that wind up in his kind of rotational spot where it's like, they could be good and like, oh, they show some flashes, but like Jeff Green, you're just like, no, you're like, he is an NBA player. He is extremely competent. He knows what to do. He won't be out of position. He will not screw up a position, a possession.
Okay.
Like he's just solid. And the low mistakes is kind of part of, that's my third thing. It's just, he will not make blunders that absolutely drive you insane at this point in his career. Maybe young when he was younger. Absolutely. At this point in his career, he knows what he is, knows what he does. He'll do what he needs to.
So we have similar ones on him again. I have number one, versatility, and number two, adaptability. They sound the same. Versatility is his ability to play multiple roles or do this. And adaptability is more his willingness to. And I think that's for Denver. Like he might play center this year. He played a lot of center last year. He might have to do that. They might need him to rebound. They might need him to be in the corner. They might need him to handle the ball. And it seems like he is a guy that can kind of read, okay, this is what this team is going to need for me this year. This is what I'm going to do. And then lastly, I just put length. Like he just has a good basketball body that allows him to do that. All those different things.
Okay. That's top 10 guys. We did not include Zeke, which.
He's not top 10 though. He might not have even been the next one.
Really? You like Austin? You like Austin over him?
I think Austin is much more likely to play this year. I mean, we'll see. I mean, camp will be interesting.
I mean, look, yeah, haven't we? I think we've been surprised by the rotation just about every year with Malone.
who's it going to be this year? That might be a good question. Like, who's the guy that Malone's going to fall in love with? And it's going to be Jeff Green, actually. I think that's who it's going to be.
Do you think?
I think it might be Jeff Green. I think coaches love veterans.
They do. I don't think you'll fall in love with Jeff Green.
Interesting.
Okay. I don't think he'll be in the doghouse, but I don't think he'll fall in love with Jeff Green. Jeff's not very emotional.
Okay.
That's just not how he plays. I think Malone likes guys that play with a lot of fight. Like, you know, there's a reason that Campazzo is in the rotation. Like, he likes those guys. He loved Campazzo when he was in, you know, like overseas, right? Like that's his type of guy. He likes guys that play with like a lot of passion. And I honestly don't know that's Jeff Green. Jeff Green's just like solid, competent veteran.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be something kind of interesting to watch. Zeke's gonna be fascinating to watch this year just because summer league, he looks so much bigger. And so I really want to see. I'm genuinely really curious about like what happens with Zeke Nnaji in training camp and how, like, where does he fit in the rotation? Is he, because last year he was like a wing a lot of the time. Yeah. We were like, oh, they drafted a center and then he plays ball forward bunch, you know. But this year I think he plays. I've been wondering if the reason why we're like, they don't really have a backup center might be because they really do think like, well, look, if we need another body, it's going to be Zeke. Like, I genuinely kind of wonder if that's the move.
Could be. I mean, I just think he might be the next guy up after an injury, but we'll see. Flacco's in town. Bol Bol's in town. Who knows? A lot of guys making early impressions, trying to make early impressions.
It's good to see, right? I again, have to go back and apologize. I was so awful in terms of how off I was. I thought Jokic would genuinely want as much time as possible after last season. I thought that was so much of a grind, and he has always been so attached to home. And I know that he'd already said that they were having the baby here, and that's obviously a big part of it. But if you're going through that, I would figure like, oh, he's going to, you know, stay around the family and have those moments and spend that time. And instead, like, he's doing the Red Rocks runs. I think that's phenomenal. I am really impressed. Like, this is just a lot of it is like, I just got to recalibrate on who Nikola Jokic is now as like a man in his life.
But I was going to say, he might be different from, you might just have the vision of a guy from 3 years ago, but he's meaningfully different. I mean,
I just think he's matured. I just think he's matured, which that's, I would say the sky's the limit then, but I'm like, well, he won MVP last season. You know, we're pretty close to the sky even now. What do you got on DMVR coming up?
Yeah. I mean,
you just launched PHNX.
We did do that. That's
my wife. Thing. My wife wanted to congratulate you on your continuing war on vowels.
Thank you. It is a war. We are winning at the moment. We got a couple more weeks of this and everything picks up again. So you mentioned 2 weeks till media day. That's when it all gets crazy. I think we're 3 weeks from a basketball game, by the way. 3 weeks from a Nuggets basketball game.
Are you gonna be going to games, or are you gonna be at the bar?
I'll probably be at the bar, to be honest, most nights. I'll probably make it to a handful.
I'm gonna be heartbroken.
I know. Might go for like a half. I don't know. I got to figure that out.
It's going to be just me and Harrison. Harrison never wants to talk during games. Very sad. Oh, God. I'm going to have to talk to Brendan. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No. Oh, I may go to the bar now. Okay. All right. That's going to wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. Hope you guys have a great week. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Enjoy as the weather gets finally a little bit cooler. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thanks for all the positive comments and support. We appreciate that. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Check out Adam Mares at Adam_Mares. And you can check out his work at thednbr.com. You can see all my work at the Action Network. For Adam Mares, I'm Matt Moore. Thanks for joining us on Locked On Nuggets. Have a great week, everyone.